for change. You know what sin I'm talking about? Now, immediately one sin came into your heart and you immediately thought about that one sin, right? That's the one I'm talking about. Because immediately after that, you start saying, no, not that one, another one, right? Don't forget about the other ones, that one that God's dealing with you about. And I want you to know, as we go through this series, I want you to know that there's hope. And God really does have the power to change you. And there are some things that you can do to allow Him to do that. And it's going to take 3 weeks. I've taken this passage of Scripture, and we're in Ephesians chapter 4, the last half of it, and I've narrowed it, I've pared it down to 3 weeks. All right, this is the quickest series we've ever done in this church. Real change is 3 weeks, but I made it short because I want you to be here for all three of them. I'm going to give you one today, and it's so important. But if you don't get the next two, you're going to be right back where you were, maybe even worse. You've got to get all three of these, all right? And so I tried to make it real short, pared it down to its simplest components. And the first one that we're going to see today is stop the cycle of sin. If you want to experience real change, if you want to overcome that sin, you just have to stop it. And we're going to see how it's a cycle. We'll see that stuff. But if you will, take your Bible, Ephesians chapter 4. We'll start in verse 17 and we'll read through verse 20. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ." What I want us to see today, we're going to look and see how these three different issues that we have and how they cycle together to make a problem get worse and worse and worse. And the first thing I want you to see is that it's a behavior issue. He talks about your walk. He says that you had testified therefore, based on therefore, is whenever you see therefore, you look back to see what it's there for. And that's the first part of Ephesians 4, where we learn to walk worthy of what God did for us. And so he says, if you're going to try and walk worthy, if you want to be who God wants you to be, then don't be like the other Gentiles. And he talks about that walk. We'll see that in a second. This is just a side note, but I think it's important for you to get. He calls them other Gentiles, and he's referring to the lost world, to the people who don't know Jesus. So he's talking to a church, and he's saying other Gentiles. And the reason why that's important is because some people think that when you became a Christian, you became a Jew. That's not true. He's distinguishing the Gentiles that are saved from the Gentiles who are not saved. They're still a Gentile. And if you're not Jewish, that's all it means, is anybody who's not Jewish is a Gentile. I'm a Gentile. And so when I got saved, I didn't become a Jew. I didn't replace the church. I didn't replace Israel. I'm still a Gentile. I'm just saved. And so getting past that, he talks about the walk. And we talked about that word walk when we talked about walk worthy. Here's the definition from Webster's Dictionary: to live and act or behave. Your walk is your behavior, right? And we use that the same way, right? We say you don't just talk the talk, but you walk the walk, right? And we talk about somebody who needs to straighten up the behavior in their life. They need to walk the straight and narrow, right? So we use that way, and so does the Bible. 2 Thessalonians 3:11 is on the screen. It says, "For we hear that there are some among you which walk disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies," saying the things that they should do, their actions, their behaviors, they're not doing, and the things that they shouldn't be doing, they are doing. They're not working. We command it. Disorderly means against my orders. And remember, Paul had instructed them to work, not be lazy, but work. He said, some of you, you're not working. You need to work. And then some of you are not doing the things that you should do. You're being busy. You're being busybodies. You're going around and messing in everybody's business. You know, we all know what that is, right? So the walk is our behaviors. And I've gone old school here. Check this little easel out with this paper. It's not as high as I dreamed it would be. But hopefully you can see it. And this pad of paper, it looks so big when I was holding it. But then I put it on the easel and it looks pretty small. But hopefully you can still see it. So I'm going old school here. and my handwriting is wonderful. So if you can see that at all, we're talking about walk, all right? And your walk is your behavior. So I'm just going to write that above here. It's your behavior. There's no way you can read that, but I'll write it up there anyway. Your walk is your behavior. And with sin, it's a behavior issue. If you've got sin in your life, if you're living like the lost world, it's an issue with what you're doing, your actions, your behavior. He says, don't do that. Romans 12:2 is a similar passage where Paul tells the church at Rome to not be conformed to this world. Don't live like the rest of this world. There are ways that lost people who don't know Jesus, they behave differently. They behave a certain way. You should not behave that way, is what he's saying. And henceforth is just an old word for not anymore. So don't do that stuff anymore. Now you're saved, don't do it anymore. So we would maybe call that stop it, okay? You've been sinning, stop it. There's a popular phrase in Christianity today. It's called in, not of. You ever heard that before? In, not of. It means in the world, but not of the world. That's what Jesus prayed for his disciples as he was praying to God the Father, and he said, I'm praying for them. John chapter 17, it's up on the screen. It says, I'm praying for them, not that they would be taken out of the world, but that you would keep them from the evil of the world. So they're in the world. I don't want you to take them out of the world. We're in the world. We got to live on planet Earth. If we're going to be a light to this world, you got to live in this world. But you're not to live of this world. Your life has got to be different. Henceforth, from now on, if you've experienced Jesus, if you've been saved, then don't do that anymore. Stop it. I've got a little video I want to show you, and it's gonna pop on here about a counseling session where somebody encourages somebody else to just stop it. All right.
Well, I have this fear of being buried alive in a box. And just I start thinking about being buried alive, and I begin to panic.
Has anyone ever tried to bury you alive in a box?
No, but truly thinking about it does make my life horrible. I mean, I can't go through tunnels or be in an elevator or in a house, anything boxy.
So what you're saying is you're claustrophobic.
Yes, that's it.
All right, well, let's go, Catherine. I'm going to say two words to you right now. I want you to listen to them very, very carefully. Then I want you to take them out of the office with you and incorporate them into your life.
So write them down?
Well, if it makes you comfortable, it's just two words. Most people can remember.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, you're there.
Stop it!
Maybe that's a little bit crazy. Maybe you would want a little bit more from a counseling session. But what we're talking about today is just stop it. And as difficult as it's going to be to overcome this sin, because it is a behavioral issue, and he's talking about don't walk like them, at some point, you just got to stop it. And it's going to be tough. Especially the longer that this sin problem's been around, it's going to be really tough. It's going to be a battle. In fact, Paul calls it a battle, a war going on within himself. It's going to be a fight. So fight. And you may get punched a few times. You may get knocked down a few times. But it's a fight. So get back up and stop it. You've got to stop the cycle of sin. It starts with your behavior, with your actions. That's your walk. This is the way he's telling us to walk. Maybe we don't grasp it completely. But think about Jesus' walk and how different it was from the people around him. Remember all those statements that he said that were just so revolutionary? He said, when somebody sues you and they take something that you have, give them more. He said, if somebody requires you to walk a mile, because the Roman soldiers could do that, they could require you to walk a mile and carry their armor. He said, go with them 2 miles. The way of the world would be complain and say, I can't believe they're making me do this. But Jesus says, don't act like the world. Don't behave. Let your actions be different. Let your walk be different. Think about this. Jesus said, you've heard it said to love your friends and hate your enemies. I'm telling you, hate your enemies. And when somebody despitefully uses you and hurts you and doesn't care anything about you, he says, love your enemies. Did I say that wrong? Everybody's laughing at me. I figured I did. He said to love your enemies. When somebody goes to hurt you, what you want to do is what this world tells us to do. Hurt them back, right? But Jesus said it's different. He even talked about physical pain. And man, we have a tough time with this. But he said, if somebody strikes you, what we want to do is return and strike them back. But Jesus said, turn the other cheek, right? This is not easy stuff we're talking about. When I say just stop it, that doesn't mean it's going to... Stop it is a whole lot easier said than done. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a fight. It's going to be everything that's contrary to your human nature. But he's telling you, don't walk like human nature tells you to walk. Walk like Jesus' nature has taught you to walk. And that's the issue that we're talking about with these behaviors. And I don't know what your sin is. We've already talked, maybe... I'm sure God is already, in the instant we started talking about the sin that so easily beset you, the one that always seems to get you no matter what happens, you can't get rid of it, you can't shake it, you feel like you can't change. Whatever that sin is, we know what God has told us in His Word. And it's tough to stop that. And I'll just be honest with you, the next 2 weeks are going to help you, but you got to stop it first. That's the first step, is changing your behavior, stopping this cycle of sin. So some easy illustrations, right? The Bible says, don't steal. And it doesn't matter how much it is. It's just a little bit. Maybe it could be stealing money from your parents' wallet. That doesn't seem like much. But what happens is that behavior, it gets worse and worse. We'll see it in a second. It doesn't matter if it's charging extra time to your company that you didn't really work. It doesn't matter... if it's getting a paycheck that you really don't need, that you didn't really earn. The walking different, it means obeying what Jesus says instead of what everybody else, well, everybody does that. Well, that's right. All the lost world does that. So don't walk like them. Don't behave like them. We talk about lying and we think, well, you know, lying is not that big of a deal. I tell white lies. The white lies are the biggest lie of all to you. Because you get caught into that thinking, oh, it's a victimless crime. No, there's no such thing. Sin always destroys and it always separates us from God. And it's always cyclical. It always gets worse and worse and worse. It doesn't matter what the lie is. It doesn't matter who the victim of the lie is. Or if it made somebody's feelings better or worse. That's not the issue. The issue is don't lie. Right? And we could go through these. There are lots of different things that the Bible points out that we shouldn't do. Right? What I want you to know is you have to stop it. Right? If you can remember one thing today, remember those two words, right? As he said it, S-T-O-P, new word, I-T, right? Stop it. And I'm not trying to sugarcoat things. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a battle this week. Come back next week and we'll talk about the next step to take. But it starts with stopping that sin. All right, I'm going to skip some stuff. Sorry back there. The next thing I want you to see is that it's a mind issue. Look back at our text. At the end of verse 17, remember he said, don't walk as the other Gentiles walk? In the vanity of their mind. Because what influences this walk is your mind, the way you think. So here comes another one. It's determined by your mind. And those mind, your mind, that's how you think, right? Those are your, instead of your behavior, that's your actions. So now it's not just an issue with your behavior. Really, behind that, it's an issue with the way that you think, right? Because all of those sins, we kind of think, well, it's not really that bad. Or, I got this under control. Or the way we think about it, it affects what we do. And that's where he says in Romans 1:28, it'll be on the screen for you. It says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, that's their mind, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. The issue with the mind is, it says that he gave them over to a reprobate mind. Why? To do. Because the mind influences what you do. Your mind, it determines your walk. And so he says that the issue is not just an action issue. It's also a thought issue. And the way you think about things and what you think about, those influence what you're going to do. Sin starts in the mind before it ever gets to the hands and to the feet. He says that it's their vain mind, the vanity of their mind. And that just means something that's useless or worthless. It's not worth anything, something that's vain. And so he's saying that their mind, it's not what they're thinking about and the way that they think. It's not even worth anything. It's useless thinking. And then he explains it more. Look at verse 18. Having the understanding darkened. People who are not believers in Jesus, they don't get spiritual things. 1 Corinthians 2 says that it's spiritual things to the lost world, it's foolishness to them. They don't get it. They can't get it because it's something that the Holy Spirit teaches you. It's not something you can get. You can have the most brilliant mind in the world. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit teaching you God's Word, it'll just be foolishness to you. That's why some brilliant minds have come to this in the past and tried to figure it out, and they can't. Because it's just revealed by God's Holy Spirit. But these people, the lost world, they have their understanding darkened. Listen to what Romans 1, 21 and 22 say. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain, there's our word, in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And he goes on to the next statement in our text. Look at this, verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. They're separated from the life of God. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you have life. You have spiritual life. Jesus wants you to have abundant life here on earth, and He wants you to have eternal life in heaven. He's given you those. But the lost world, they don't get that. They're alienated from the life of God, says, through the ignorance that is in them. Because they don't know Jesus and because they don't know His gospel, they're completely separated from real life, from spiritual life. And that mind, that vain mind of not knowing God, not knowing the gospel of God, having their understanding darkened, it influences their walk. That now their behavior is starting to reflect what's going on in their mind. And he goes back even further than that. Look at, it's not just a behavior issue or a mind issue. Look at the end of verse 18. Because of the blindness of their heart. It's also a heart issue. And here's what's bad. We've got the behavior, and I didn't do my triangle so well, so forgive me. I don't know what that. All right, here we've got the heart, right? And your heart, as we're going to see, it's your character. So your character of who you are your heart. Whoops, I did my arrow backwards. Oh, I knew I would end up doing that. Sorry. The heart determines who you are, determines how you think, determines what you do, right? And listen, philosophy, all those guys, they got this much figured out. Because who you are is the real issue, right? And you can't really help what you think or what you do and all that kind of stuff. I mean, they don't know the truth of God. They don't know that He can help you change. They just kind of think you're stuck there, you know? And that's who you are. But we're going to see today that you can change. But this idea of it being who you are, the verses on the screen, Proverbs 23:7, says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's who you are. Your heart. What's in your heart? That's who you are. That's your character. And so our heart determines our mind. I could also put some other words up here. Let me do that for you. Maybe the word behavior. We'll just call that, it's what you do. Whoops, it'd help if I spelled properly. And your mind is how you think, right? The penmanship gets worse and worse. And the heart is who you are. Okay, all that's important to see, right? Who you are affects how you think, affects what you do. And we all get that. That makes sense to us. 1 John 2:11 says, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh, there's our word, walk, in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth. There's our mind, because the darkness has blinded his heart, or blinded his eyes. That's our text from his heart was blinded. Their foolish heart is blinded. So that all works. But what I want you to see today is it's not just, it doesn't end right here. Because what happens is your walk comes back and affects your heart. So what we've got is a cycle, all right? So your walk, the actions that you do, they actually begin to change who you are. If you sit back and you think about this from experience, you've probably seen this before, right? Somebody who has some sin problem, and it just keeps going and keeps going, and it starts to change really who they are. Have you noticed that? Have you seen that? Have you been around somebody who they're not even the same person that they used to be? They've changed, right? That's what happens. It's this cycle. And check it out. This is where it says it in our text in verse 19. Who being, their being, who they are, has changed. Now their past feeling. In verse 19. Who being, now that who they are, their character, who their being has changed. And now their past feeling. That we begin to change it. Romans 6 is a cool place where it talks about that. Verse 16 is on the screen. It says, know ye not that whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey. So the first one, the first statement, who you yield yourself, he's talking about sin here in the context, and he says that if you yield to sin, if you do sin, you become the servant of sin. Who you are changes. Your walk, your sin, it changes who you are because now you're the servant of that sin. What we do, it changes our heart. Our actions affect our heart. Matthew 6:21, Jesus said it this way, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Oh, I'm wrong verse, sorry. That one says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That your treasure, where that's giving. He's talking about giving. If you give, it'll redirect your heart. It'll change who you are. So what we've got is a big cycle, and you need to get that. And that's why it's so important that we stop this cycle, that you stop it, because whether you realized it or not, the first time you sin, it changes your heart just a little bit. And you become a little bit different. And then it changes your mind, the way you think about it. It's not that big of a deal. It wasn't that bad. And it affects your actions, that you'll do it again. And that cycle continues. And then that cycle goes downward. It's like a downward spiral that never stops. And we're fine with this. as long as it's not our sin, right? If we see a murderer, somebody who murdered one person, we're fine with calling them who they are. They're a murderer. Or somebody who raped somebody. Yes, call them a rapist. Somebody who molests a child. Yes, they're a child molester. That's who they are, has changed. But when it comes to our personal sin, whatever yours is, I may tell a lie, but I'm no liar. I mean, I may charge a little extra hours of work, but I'm no thief. I might appreciate how a woman looks, but I'm no adulterer at heart, as Jesus said. We begin to fight that because that's us. And I don't want to think that it's changing who I am, but the truth is, it really does. Look what it says about their being and how it changes. It says their past feeling. You know, the first time, that sin that we talked about, that one in your life, the first time you fell to that sin, you found it to be shocking. How in the world did I let this happen? How did I stoop to this level, right? You were disgusted at your sin. And the next time you were almost as disgusted by your sin. And the next time, a little less disgusted by your sin. And over time, you become past feeling that your conscience and the Holy Spirit, you don't even really respond to it anymore. That's the way sin works. The Bible pictures sin by the disease leprosy that kills the nerves. And people don't even know the damage that they're doing to their own body. And sometimes they'll be sleeping and rats will come and eat parts of their fingers off. And they don't know. They can't even feel it. They'll be working with a rake or something. They'll have a nail sticking out of it and they'll start gouging parts of their hand out. They don't know. They can't feel it. And that's the way sin does. Little by little, it erodes your feeling. And you feel it just a little bit less every time. And it's affecting who you are. You're becoming past feeling. All right. So that last arrow, that's the key to that thing. And look what it says about it. In verse 19, it says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. That they gave themselves over to it. That now lasciviousness, that word just means like irregular indulgence of animal desires. Whatever they want, they just go do it. They have no restraint. They just go do it. That's what happens when you over and over give in to a sin, it over and over. See, we think, have you ever heard people say this? I can stop anytime I want. No matter what the problem is, that's what they say, right? And it could deal with a whole lot of different things. I can stop anytime I want. We think we have our sin under control, but the truth is, our sin has us under control. Remember what Romans chapter 6 said? You're its servant. That sin is not your servant for you to do with it what you please. You are that sin's servant, and it just does whatever it wants with you. You think you can control it. You think you could stop anytime you want. Well, prove it. Stop it. The more you hold off and the more you let sin control you, the harder it's going to be. And it says that they end up doing all uncleanness with greediness. Have you ever thought, I may do this, but I will never do that? You ever thought that? That's not true. Eventually, through this cycle, there's no telling what you won't do. You will do whatever that sin tells you to do. It just takes some time, a little bit more giving in, and whatever that sin is gets worse and worse and worse until it controls and dominates every part of your life to where you work all uncleanness. Listen, the things that used to sicken you today, they're okay today. The things that sicken you today, tomorrow, you'll be okay with. Because that's what sin does. It moves who you are to be past feeling. You've got to stop it. If you think your sin problem is bad now, you've got years of your life left. And it's going to keep getting worse until you stop it and allow God to change your life. Can I give you a little bit of hope here? And I don't want to get into next week. We'll get into that. But look at what verse 27 says. It starts off with a wonderful conjunction, but. I love that word in the Bible. I love the word. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Right? Romans 5:8 says, when we were sinners, Christ died for us, right? And we thought, man, everything, it could not get any worse. But there's hope. And he says, but you have not so learned Christ. Christ is the hope. This cycle of sin, it's going to keep tearing you down. And your heart, who you are, is going to affect the way you think. And then it's going to affect what you do, which is going to make you a little bit worse. Make what you think about a little bit worse. Make what you do a little bit worse. And make what you, who you are, a little bit worse. And what you think about a little bit worse. Or what you do a little bit worse. Over and over and over. But you have not so learned Christ, is what he says. There's hope, and that hope is Jesus. And the issue isn't learning about Jesus. He doesn't say you've been taught about Jesus. It's you have not so learned him personally. Like we talk about not just knowing about Jesus, but knowing him personally. That's what we're saying. It's going to take a personal relationship with Jesus. If you've never started a personal relationship with Jesus, we call that being saved or being born again. If you've never done that, then you are without hope right now. But Jesus is our hope. And he's the only thing, the only power capable of conquering sin. And he did it. If you allow him to forgive you of that sin and change your life through salvation, then you do have hope. For those of you who have already received Jesus as your Savior, you do have hope that he can overcome that sin in your life, but it's about knowing him and your relationship with him and growing in that relationship and walking with him, spending time with him, just like my relationship with my wife, who is not here today because she decided she didn't like church anymore. Now she's at a continuing ed class. We spend time together, and the more time I spend with her, the more I know her. And it's the same way with Jesus. Knowing him is the solution to stopping this cycle. It's you making an effort saying, I'm not going to do this, and I'm going to spend time with Jesus instead. And I'm going to walk the way he wants me to walk, and I'm going to begin thinking the way that he thinks, and I'm going to become who he is. That is what it's going to take. And it's going to take you stopping that cycle. Father, I love you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the hope that's there, because I see in my life this endless battle with sin. And God, just to be honest, so many times I question whether there's ever going to be any real change. And God, while I know from your word that if the Apostle Paul struggled with sin his whole life, that I'll have that same fight on my hands. But God, I trust you. And I trust your word that you have the power to help us change. To not be like the rest of the world, but allow you to change our walk, our minds, and our hearts. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here this morning and you say, I don't really know that I've ever started a personal relationship with Jesus. I don't know that I've ever been saved, but I want to. And I know sin has got a hold on my life, but I want him to break that, and I want him to save me from that. If that's you, no one's going to come to you or embarrass you, but I'd love to pray for you. So with everyone's eyes closed, would you just slip up your hand and take it right back down? Thank you. I see your hand. I see your hand. Anybody else would say, I don't know that I've ever been saved, but I want Jesus to save me. Pray for me. Just slip your hand up and take it back now. Maybe you're here this morning and say, I know that sin that God's dealing with me about, and I need to stop it because it's going to destroy my life, and it's going to turn me into somebody I don't want to be. I'm going to give you just a second. Just to pray and speak to God about that issue. Whatever he's pointing out in your life, he already knows what it is. Just confess it to him. Ask him for the power to help you to stop that cycle. and commit to love him and spend time with him, to know him. Father, I pray for everybody in this room as they walk out of here today. May your Holy Spirit continue to work on us. Give us the strength that we need to stop the cycle of sin in our lives. God, your word says that you've already conquered sin. So we trust you and we ask you for your help in our life. And God, even though we fail, help us to get back up and keep fighting that fight. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a famous song called, I don't even know the name of it. Jay would probably know it, but he's in the children's ministry. It's a old Southern gospel song, and it says that sin will take you farther than you want to go, cost you more than, or wait, farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, cost you more than you want to pay, right? That's the way sin works. So I'm going to be praying for you this week, if you guys will pray for me. I do believe that God can allow us to have real change. And we'll see next week the next step. The first one this week is going to be tough. And I feel bad, almost like I'm setting you up for failure. You know, go stop. And we'll find out next week that's not enough. The next step, you need it. So make sure you're back next week and allow God to begin that changing process in you. Michael's going to come and give us some announcements and pray for us, and then we'll be dismissed.